It's Squirrel Tine's Day.
Squirrel Tine?
Huh? There we go.
Squirrely Tine.
My Squirrely Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're squirrelies that come. Squirrely, sketchy, all those S words.
Everybody have a great Valentine's Day?
We had heart-shaped pizza.
Oh, that's so romantic, Jay.
That's how we roll.
Was it good?
I have no idea. I didn't have any.
Oh.
It's pizza. Come on.
You don't eat pizza?
I don't eat pizza.
Oh.
It's like Heartburn City.
Oh. Yeah.
Maybe you're allergic to wheat.
Sucks getting old.
I don't think so. I think it's just I don't eat greasy food very often, so that when I do have some, it disagrees with me.
Oh. That makes sense.
So I had broccoli because I love broccoli.
Ugh. I had broccoli as well.
With you.
And later tonight, Brita, I'm dipping into the hummus.
God. You wild man.
That's me. Roll. The unbridled hedonism that is my life.
Oh boy. Yeah, well, I had kind of a, decent Valentine's Day. I didn't have to cook dinner, so that's like one of the best gifts ever.
That is always appreciated. And no Schwartz in the basement, so.
Nope, no Schwartz. Not
there's anything wrong with basement Schwartz, of course.
Oh, there's a lot wrong with basement Schwartz.
Is there a ceiling Schwartz to go with it?
No, just the basement. That's all we can take. I noticed at work today that middle school girls are now getting flowers from their boyfriends, I guess.
That's weird.
That's too young.
I think that's unacceptable. If I was a parent, I would have issues on both ends, really. Like, why is a boy buying flowers and why is a girl getting flowers? I don't know.
Place, Brita.
That's way too young to be spending money on stuff like that.
It really is. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's crazy.
Does everybody who listens to Score Report wonder what that sound is?
I know what it is.
Yeah, I know you know what it is because you've been in my house, but...
Not me.
Yeah. It's that sound sometimes that you hear is my kitchen door. We have a door to the...
Yeah, it's one of those
We have a pocket door. Yeah, it's very cool. And we always keep it closed because we have cats.
Yeah.
And we don't want cats in the kitchen. So
I wish my kitchen had doors.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Well, we didn't always keep it closed, but then, we had Bengals, and then the Bengals would, accidentally get trapped in the refrigerator, and then
dishwasher.
When they were kittens, they would hang out in the dishwasher. So it was like, okay, we need to keep that door closed.
Walk across crazy. The stove.
Yeah.
So. Oh.
Yeah.
Burnt beans. No good.
Yeah, burnt beans. We did have burnt beans once, and it was not nice. So.
Goodness. You don't have a glass top range, do you?
No. But we had one of those old ranges where the entire burner was like solid cast iron.
Oh.
And it would stay hot for a really, really long time. And it wasn't one of the Bengals. It was one of our other cats. He got his little beans burnt. And,
poor kitty.
Yeah. Well, he never went in the kitchen again.
On the boss side. We had one of the glass top stoves.
Do those stay hot a long time?
They do not as good as electric, but there's like a light that stays on to tell you it's still hot. It's what we liked at the time was, with little kids, there was no big an electric element to grab onto or over gas that would stay hot. Mm-hmm. You would have to get your hand all the way up and flat on the grill rather than just the side or not the range, as compared to an electric stove with the coils, which I don't think anybody makes anymore. And now we have
they do.
Now we have Now we have gas, which I love about a million billion times more than electric. Because it's like cooking over fire all the time. I love it.
Speaking of squirrely.
Squirrely? Yes.
Let's start off
with the
Jesse Smollett.
Oh. Oh yeah.
Which, like all quote racially motivated attacks is turning out to be a big fat hoax.
Yeah.
Pay attention to me. Has there been anything concrete, or is it still like, oh, nobody saw anything ever?
It is being reported by ABC News in Chicago that police are investigating whether Smollett and the two men staged the attack because Smollett was being written off of Empire.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That means that because they were tracing back. Last I heard, they were tracing back the rope to see where it was purchased. And they were probably like, oh, it came from this store. Let's review the video camera. Hey, look at that guy. He looks just like.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that given the, you know, politically charged nature of this, that ABC 7 Eyewitness News would not be reporting
that it was
staged because he was being written off unless they had really good evidence.
Yeah. Like that email was the case. Or phone texts or
something.
Yeah, something pretty solid.
So,
you know, this is not the first time this sort of thing has happened. I mean, it's like, you know, every time they find like, what, like nooses hung in the trees of a university.
Waitresses get a zero tip.
Right. Waitresses get the zero tip.
There's a swastika on a wall.
It's pretty pervasive, this kind of trend in, you know, these fraudulent stories. And it's to get attention, or they think they're going to make a point, or they're going to gain something politically, or like the waitress with the tips. I mean, she made thousands of dollars, like, because people were like, oh, no, you know. Yeah.
Which a good number of those. It's just mind-boggling they thought that they'd get away with it.
Yeah. Well,
people are stupid.
Yeah.
Well, they think they're so smart, right? Oh, I'm going to...
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many problems with the story just from the get-go. There's so many problems.
Right.
He's walking in Chicago, right? And it's below freezing, well below freezing.
It's like, it was like 20 below.
Yeah.
It was well below freezing that night. And he goes to Subway at 2 a.m. By himself. Okay. If you want a sandwich, you know, I understand that. I get it. But like, and then, you know, there's no video. And, you know, the reports come back that he was on the phone and had the sandwich at the same time as the attack.
And never that let was go story. Of either one.
Never let go of the either one. But then I saw today that in his Good Morning America or whatever the hell interview that he did, like, what was it? The Today Show, Good Morning America, one of those. Anyway, he said, oh, I fought back. You didn't drop your sandwich. Like, you hit him with your sandwich while they're tying a rope around your neck and pouring bleach on you. You didn't drop your sandwich.
Yeah. If you didn't drop your sandwich or your phone, you didn't.
No, you didn't fight back.
And it was Good Morning America.
You know, Brita.
Yes.
It's funny that you mentioned there not being any video of this.
Okay.
You know what else there's no video of?
What?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg attending the play devoted to her hagiography.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
That somebody says, oh yeah, she sat in the back, and yet
And yet,
no evidence whatsoever that she was actually there.
They had one person who said, "Oh yeah, I saw her leave," and then everyone else was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I saw her leave too. Yeah, I totally saw that."
So,
yeah.
What do we think is happening?
I think it's weekend. It's weekend at
weekend at Ruthie's.
Weekend at Ruthie's.
Oh my God.
I think they're just carting her corpse around.
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
They have a doppelganger.
It's been months now.
Yeah.
Well, she's 80 some years old, and she's had, you know, all sorts of shit wrong with her. Yeah. So.
But here's the thing. If she was in any way presentable,
right?
Yes.
Or coherent, they would have video of her.
That's true.
Just to prove the point. The right. fact that they do not is telling.
The fact that they pull this, oh yes, at this special showing devoted solely to her, not a single person got so much as a picture.
Hmm.
Oh, there was no video at the event. I'm like, okay, that's at the showing. Okay, I might be able to buy that, although I don't. But not entering, not leaving.
Nobody had a cell phone.
Yeah, not getting into a car.
Because you know somebody would have posted that shit on Twitter.
Right. Yeah, no, I at this point, I'm thinking we need signs of life.
We need proof of life. She's, you know, she might not be dead, but I bet she's so incapacitated they can't afford to show her because right. it would look awful.
Right. It's time, you know, you should have stepped down when Obama was in office, honey. Sorry.
Yeah, but
I'm sure she knows that now because she was counting on Hillary to win.
Yeah. Somebody tell Amy Comey Barrett she's on in five.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's going to be.
They will lose their minds. The feminists will lose their minds.
It's to be delightful.
It'll make Kavanaugh look like a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I watched that body language expert thing, State of the Union, and one of the things she was reading the body language of was when the justices came in. And one of the things she noticed was that there was a lot of stress in the justices' faces. And not just stress of just like, oh, something just happened on the outside of the door, but like stress of like long-term stress. And she was like, a lot of the commenters on the YouTube video were saying, oh, it's gotta be Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This has got to be the issue where they all know her, you know, Ginsburg's status as far and they're just all kind of covering for it. So we shall see. What are they stalling for? I mean, well,
they're hoping, you know, it's the Democrat never give up, never surrender thing. You know, right. they're gonna beat that dead horse till it can't be beat anymore. And yep. you know, they're gonna drag it out. You know, hey, she might get better. You know, and you know, until she stops breathing, they're gonna keep pretending everything's okay.
Well, it's pretty much got to hit the same distance as after. Who's there, Alito? Who am I thinking of? Scalia. After Scalia passed, where they didn't want Obama to make the... It was like 11 months. So I think they're figuring that, okay, they got to drag this out till next January.
Yeah, but that's not... It's not going to be the same thing because that was a completely different situation.
Yep.
You had Obama trying to appoint somebody and the Senate was like, nope. You know, in this case, you're going to have, you know, if it's the day before, you know, the if it's the like, you know, December 25th and they go, oh, yeah, she's dead. And Trump's going to name somebody and the Senate's going to ram it through.
Yep.
Because they can.
I don't know what they think they're going to gain.
It's a Hail Mary.
Yeah. They think she'd pull it out for another 2 years. It's like, good luck with that.
Well, yeah, but you know, if she can get better, you know, they can, you know,
Oh, go better.
As long as she's as long as she can still fog a mirror, they're going to claim she's, you know,
yeah,
still it coherent does, and still doing.
Does get an 8-8? You know, it's a 4-4 Supreme Court.
Oh
and,
no, she's still doing. She's still. They're claiming that she's still actively participating.
You know, that's an interesting. That does bring up a, you know,
she's like reading the. You know, the stuff, reading the briefs and
if there were a pivotal ruling, you would need, I would imagine, I mean, Trump's not the kind to just the kind of guy who's going to be like, oh, she pushes it into the 4-5. We lose. Okay. I accept that. No, he's not. He's going to be like, oh no. You got to roll grandma's bones right on in here.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. At some point they're going to have to. I mean, how long can the nation go without seeing her in any way before they have to? Now, you know, my position is the Democrats will never give up on this. They have literally nothing to lose because,
right?
You know, the minute they admit she's incapacitated or, you know, whatever. Then they're down a seat.
Yep.
And you know, they're not gonna admit it.
They are gonna drag, you're absolutely right. They're gonna drag this out absolutely as long as they can. Because there's no downside to it. Look what's happening in Virginia. You know,
there's a good example. They were all hot and bothered to get what's his name to resign until they realized that, you know, number two and number three were also problematic. And oh look, here's the next one's a Republican. So if they get what's his name Newsom, if they get rid of him, they got to get rid of fuck that bitch.
Yeah.
And then the attorney general is another blackface guy. So they got to get rid of him too, which means
they've got to get rid of the AG.
Right.
And you can't have the lieutenant governor because, you know, when it was only one woman that he raped. Oh no, that's just a, he said, she said, now there's two.
Well, and now it's like, well, we have to, you know, we have to let the legal system do its job before
sorry, guys, you set the rules of engagement.
Yeah, well, they set the rules of engagement for Republicans. The rules of engagement for Democrats are completely different. And now it's like now he's pulling a Kennedy. He's just going to brazen it out and go basically say, what are you going to do?
Here's the thing. Northam's career is dead.
Well, yeah, it was dead anyway because he can't get reelected, so he has literally nothing to lose. He had no chance of being elected president or anything like that. So
he could have gone for the Senate.
Yeah, well, maybe, but
I mean, Tim Kaine, he's gonna, you know, I mean, maybe he'll run with Hillary again, but. You know, he's not going to get elected to any other office. So
You say that, but look at the reprehensible people that Democrats have elected over and over and over again, repeatedly. They literally don't give a shit as long as you're a reliable Democrat.
Ted Kennedy.
The only thing is, Northam wasn't going to go anywhere. The only thing he might have been is a VP candidate.
Could have been not Kamala, from Virginia. It's too small.
Kamala Harris is VP.
And it's reliably Democrat at this point.
It is, but it's a Southern.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
It's the Southern end of the ticket. You put
trust,
Kamala.
Trust me, nobody down here thinks of Virginia as Southern anymore.
Which is rather hysterical, but.
Yeah, but it's not. It's a suburb of D.C.
Yeah. What is unfortunately, it we're controlled by Northern Virginia.
Yeah. So, Yeah, so you've you've got and then you've got this other the Muslim woman who married her brother or whatever, and and
she
is
did.
Being an saying all this anti-Semitic bullshit and then going off on a junket with from CARE, and I mean, and they're like, yeah, whatever, we don't care. She fit
right in with the Women's March.
Yeah,
you know, there's just. A strong current of anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party that,
there is always been anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party.
We'll pretend it doesn't exist.
From back before the Woodrow Wilson administration.
Yeah.
In fact, it's long and deep in the Democratic Party.
And yet American Jews keep voting for Democrats. And,
yeah, it's amazing. I don't know.
It's astonishing to me. Yeah, I don't understand it either. The Democrats have had a really bad week. And I don't think they see it.
No, they don't.
And I think the reason is because all of them are glued to Twitter. And they have their little echo chamber. And all they hear is from their super lefty base, and they think, oh, I'm doing great. People love me.
Right.
And so they make these, this Omar from, where was she is from?
Minnesota. She's the one that's out of
Minnesota, Somalia, whatever.
Same thing.
Yeah, at this point.
It's Upper Somalia.
Yeah. Upper Somalia. Oh, God. She thinks she's doing great. She thinks this is what her people want her to say, because she sees all of her, her base constituents on Twitter, giving her the high fives and you go, girl, and we're standing with you and we will not be silenced. Yeah. And she tries to play this whole anti-Semitism off as, she doesn't like lobbyists and she doesn't like how, certain money controls the government and all this stuff. But how much money has she made from lobbyists and PACs? How much? A lot.
All of it.
All of it. So, that's a lie. And I really think that she's self-destructing. She had that thing with Abrams this week and Elliot Abrams, and she was questioning him.
Oh, that was bad. I mean, it was bad
was
all the way around.
Really bad.
Mm-hmm. First, she proves her she proves herself that she's an illiterate moron.
Well,
because she can't even read the briefing notes that her staff prepared for her.
Wow. Racist, Alan. You racist. Yeah.
I'm just, watch the video.
I know.
She's another one of those idiots that Democrats elected to office. Like, she's right up there with Hank Johnson and,
But she was raised in a culture and, continues to be, affirmed by a culture that is super anti-Semite.
She may actually think she's not that bad.
I'm sure in the circles she runs, she's quite liberal.
Yeah, she might be.
With regard to Israel.
Well, I mean, she shows her face.
She hasn't, she hasn't openly called for them to be driven into the sea.
Yeah.
That's something, right?
Well, I'm not so sure about that because, she has said from the river to the sea thing.
Yeah.
Palestine. So, which is, as the Democrats would say, a dog whistle for Jewish genocide.
Yes.
So.
Yes. But she's got the best cover in the world, doesn't she?
Mm.
She's got someone running interference for her. Someone who soaks up all the news and all the limelight.
Occasional cortex.
Oh, yes. Yes. The one thing from that whole New Green Deal.
Oh, my God.
That people are starting to wake up to is we're going to provide for people unwilling to work.
That, yes.
Like, out of all the fucked up shit in that fucking piece of crap, unwilling to work? No, I'm sorry. Fuck you. You starved to death.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
And, I am unwilling to work every day I go to work.
Here's the thing.
But I go.
Exactly. They could have avoided that quite nicely with just leave it at unable to work.
Oh, yeah.
They had, they put that in as, it has to be put in as a nudge. As a, yeah. we're going to get people riled up with this. This was designed for controversy.
Sure.
Because if you had just said, we're going to provide for people unable to work, well, who's against that? You know, if somebody's too infirm or too old or mentally incapacitated or whatever.
Yeah, but Jay, your definition of unable to work and their definition of unable to work are two entirely different things.
Exactly. That's exactly my point, Alan. Unable to work is a changing, you know, it's a ever-changing moving goalpost. Unwilling to work is fuck you. Quite frankly.
Yeah.
I love my job. But if you said, we'll pay you the same amount to stay home and do nothing, well, I'm going to have to think.
How is that even a question?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, hell, you know. And I mean, they went right beyond a living wage, which don't even get me started on that fucking bullshit. Right,
$15 an hour? Is that
a living wage. That's what they're saying now.
Well,
okay.
I still say, and you keep people, the uncritical press keeps buying into this whole, you know, oh, people working at McDonald's need to be able to make a living wage.
No, they don't.
$15 an hour is not about people making minimum wage. $15 an hour is about all the union contracts whose wage agreements are keyed to the minimum wage. And if the minimum wage goes up, every union member with one of those contracts gets a huge increase in salary, and the unions get more money, which they will in turn spend on Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
This is
not altruism.
And the Democrats know it because they know for a fact that if they increase minimum wage to $15 an hour, employment of unskilled labor will drop.
Yeah.
And they don't give a shit.
And prices will skyrocket, and you'll see things like every fast food place in America will have a kiosk. It will be a self-order thing that puts all of those people out of business.
Yep.
But it won't matter.
There'll be like one guy in the back running the machine.
Right. Right. There's one manager, one assistant manager who oversees the orders.
Yep.
You know, you have people putting stuff together, which
maybe not even that.
Exactly. They'll fine tune machines because you make it too expensive to employ humans. We'll just have machines do the work.
Yep.
But they'll pay
like one guy to go around to five or six different places and maintain them and refill them and all that kind of stuff.
Right. You'll have like two humans in the whole building.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole concept is when you stop and you think about it, oh, you can't raise a family on minimum wage. No shit. You're not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
Minimum wage is meant to be a very bottom for a high school kid just starting out. It's so that you're not paying these kids pennies, which is bullshit to begin with because newsflash, if you are offering 50 cents an hour, the people next door are going to offer $1 an hour and the people down there are going to offer $2 an hour.
Yeah. Up to the point where it's no longer economic.
Exactly. You know, my son is of the age of, you know, the entry level job. He's had two jobs in the past year, neither of which have been at the minimum wage.
Oh yeah. My daughter's doing, she's working at some pizza place now and she gets like, I think it's like $9 an hour or something like that, which is well over minimum wage, but you know, but she's learning. She's in high school for God's sake.
Exactly. And here's the thing. If you're 17 years old and you're working at a fast food joint, that pay is not meant to support a family. That's you're just starting out.
Yeah. That's,
and here's the other thing. If you stay at that job for any time and you don't get a raise, it's because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's because you're worthless.
I mean, it's not to be an asshole, but if you show any initiative whatsoever, you show up on time for every shift, do your job competently, you're going to get a raise. You are not going to stay at minimum wage for any length of time whatsoever. So basically what you're saying is you should be able to show up, do the bare minimum to avoid being fired, and make 30 grand a year. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, no. Quite frankly, no. We need Trump to institute a department of no.
You come up that's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah, when you come up with an idea that is so monumentously stupid that the average person goes, "What? I'm willing to work?" No, it goes right to your department of no, no. To work. I mean, what? Which is that's a. Giant, they're just dancing up and down, flipping you the bird. Fuck you, America. Pay for it. I mean, and I'm a numbers guy. I'm a numbers guy. In 12 years, we are going to, I mean, forget the fact that air travel is now gone. We're going to have high-speed rail to Europe and Hawaii. Yeah, tell us how that works, Alexandria. Or should I say Sandy? Because when you were a bartender, you went by Sandy.
Sandy? And
yeah. And let's stop for a minute and think about a young, vibrant, minority woman with a degree in economics from Boston University.
Oh, Jay, I like where you're going with this.
Okay. This is someone who could have been just killing it in New York City, Wall Street, any number of positions.
Yeah, and she's working, except she can't.
As a bartender.
Yeah.
A bartender. Now I do not mean, I have many friends who are bartenders. It is a wonderful profession. But you know what you don't have to do to be a bartender? You don't have to go to Boston University.
Right.
There are any number. My sister was a bartender. She worked as a bartender through college and law school, as a matter of fact. There's like a you know, several week course you can take that's certified to attend bar.
Sure.
You don't have to go to Boston University and spend how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, although.
Right.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with the phrase, and I don't know if it's just like in design and art careers, but there's always a saying that those who can't do teach.
Sure.
And it's implying that, like, you know, if you're a shitty artist or if you're a shitty designer, you get a job at a college and you teach design, right? Well, which is not always the case. And I will, that is absolutely not always the case. But I always think, like, if you can't do, you teach. And if you can't do that, you go into politics. Right?
Yeah.
Because, like,
well,
Bernie Sanders,
you know, you don't,
right?
Yeah, all you have to do to succeed in politics is be a sociopath, apparently, and like not smell bad or something. I don't know, but
I don't know about Bernie Sanders.
You certainly don't.
A little dicey.
You certainly don't have to know anything, and you certainly don't have to be all that intelligent. You have to have, you know, you have to be that cunning sociopath.
Yeah, but they're so dumb. How are they cunning? Like, that's the thing I'm hung up on. Like,
well, AOC,
Alexandria is not a bright girl. She's not bright.
No, but if you say anything against her, You hate minorities. You hate women. You're a misogynist. You're a racist. It's perfect. Bernie Sanders is an old white dude. He is perfectly assailable. You can say Bernie Sanders' ideas are crap, and they can't say you're racist. You're a misogynist. Mm-hmm. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, obviously, you hate Latinas. You hate women. You hate young people. You know, you dismiss her because she's young. No, we dismiss her because she's a fucking moron.
Right.
Okay, this woman has no place at the table because she is dumb as fucking dog shit. Her ideas are recycled fucking Stalinist memes, for Christ's sake. Ooh, we're going to give people a living wage. We're going to give people money even if they don't want to work. You know who did that? The Soviet Union. Oh, by the way, the same Soviet Union that the Senate Democrats said there was no evidence we're colluding with Trump. We'll just throw that out there, too, by the way. More news that we can segue into. But
yeah, did you see the video with the poor, sad MSNBC hosts when they were reporting it? It was like...
It was November 2016 all over.
It was. It really was. They were almost crying.
Because it's not like it was the Senate Republicans on the committee who are saying, oh, there's no. Then that you could dismiss that as partisan. When the Senate Democrats are like, there's nothing here, guys. It's a nothing burger.
Right.
They were like, this is Al Capone's vault, for Christ's sake.
Yep.
It was like, they looked deflated. It was, Luke, somebody sucked all the fun out of the room.
But taking it back to the occasional cortex and the Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal, yes. We're going to get rid of airplanes.
So the Green New Deal, the PDF, was written by one of her advisors or staffers or whatever. I mean, they had the person's name in it. And it was posted up there. And then, you know, they tried to claim, oh, this was a Republican mischaracterization. And, you know, when word got out and everybody started laughing at it, the Democrat response was basically to gaslight.
Yep.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. This is just the evil, racist, misogynist Republicans who are blowing it out of proportion. And then somebody remembered that, guys, the internet is forever.
Yeah.
And,
hello? People have screen captures of this?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where it was like, no, the people unwilling to work was not a Republican mischaracterization. Yeah. That was black and white from what you posted.
And it wasn't a draft that got out mistakenly or anything like that. It was the Green New Deal posted on her website. And the Democrats bought into it.
They kept trying to say, oh, no, we published the draft by accident, not the final thing. Well, first of all, that does not reassure me at all.
Right.
Because that means you're idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know how this internet thing works. Well, once your own invented it, I mean, talk to Al Gore. You get some pointers.
Yeah, so, but you don't have a proofreader? Like, are you an idiot?
Yes.
That, like, every Democratic candidate has signed on to it.
Oh, that's the beautiful part.
And then the coup de grace, Cocaine Mitch scheduling a vote.
Yep, welcome. Welcome to the big. Let's have a vote on it.
And then the Democrats' reaction to
it's a stunt.
Mitch going, these Republicans are bludgeoning the Democrats with the Green New Deal. How dare they use our words against us?
How dare you follow Senate procedures?
I like how Mitch was like, this is really popular, so we're going to schedule a vote on it.
Let's do this thing. Let's get you on record.
Oh, Mitch McConnell.
And then the Democrats, wait.
We didn't really mean it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, except they did.
I'm like, what did you expect? Like, are you new here?
Yes.
I guess they are.
Yes, they are.
This, you mean this really is your first rodeo?
Well, and frankly, this Green New Deal is ludicrous. I mean, ignoring the part about not, you know, paying people that don't want to work. I mean, I'll give them that. You know, let's pretend for a second that was a mistake and they didn't really mean to put that in there. But everything else that is like the key points of this thing are ludicrous. We're going to completely be off of fossil fuels in 10 years.
We're going
to completely rebuild every building in the U.S. to be, you know,
and your house
and everything else to be green and use, you know, renewables and all this bullshit. And we're going to get rid of airplanes. Are you fucking serious? And,
by the way, we're not going to use coal or nuclear.
Right. It's all going to be like wind and solar and
10 years. We're going to have to make these renewable energy sources that have never been sustainable for large areas.
Yeah.
There's no major metropolitan area that's supplied solely by wind or solar because they can't.
No, of course not. And that's why it's so expensive.
And in 10 years, it's also expensive because Obama levied tariffs against China for their inexpensive solar panels,
right,
which tells you all you need to know about fucking green energy, doesn't it? Because, you know, his buddies at Solyndra. Oh, yeah. Remember them? Nobody talks about that. Funny, isn't it?
Yep.
You know. Oh, yeah. Trump is doing tariffs and tariffs are bad. Except they were good when they were preventing people from getting cheap solar panels that could have, you know, provided more green energy.
Well, you can't have that.
But yeah, 10 years. 10 years. For Christ's sake, Alan, what happens in the summer? We have a really hot summer and everybody runs air conditioning. We get rolling brownouts.
Yep. Well, hell, that happens today.
Imagine that multiplied by 10 billion.
Yeah.
Because now every vehicle is powered by electricity.
Yep. Oh, no, you won't have a vehicle. You'll have to take a train or something or a bus.
Which, by the way, Sandy from the Hood works 15-minute walk from her office.
Takes
a car. Thank you, Rita, for pointing that out.
Takes a car with a driver.
With a driver. Oh, God, come on. Driving a car is for the little people, Alan.
Also, she managed to find an apartment in D.C. in one of the most expensive, most luxurious apartment houses.
Yeah, that was built in a gentrified area that kicked out all the poor people that used to live there.
All the affordable housing.
Yeah, they tore down all the affordable housing and built these new townhouses and condos.
They start at $2,000 a month for a studio. Right. If you think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is living in a studio apartment, I've got a bridge to sell you.
Oh no!
Who's paying for her apartment?
That's a good question, Brita. That's
a wonderful question.
I bet money.
I'm sure it's not her.
Yeah, it is not coming out of her salary.
Well, I mean, she had to cancel her plans to fly to L.A. so she could watch the Oscars or the Academy, whatever the fuck the awards.
Grammys? I don't know.
Grammy, I don't know. With her bestest buddy. Because somebody said, yo, Lexi, that's probably not the best thing you could be doing right now.
Not good optics, honey.
You know, you
want to... Well, I think that this whole is... It's a good example of what...
Oh, I guarantee you there will still be air travel for the beautiful people and the Hollywood elite and the politicians.
Right.
You know, the rest of us, well, the little people, oh, well. I mean, like, could you get more pointedly fuck you to the flyover states?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, so Hawaii, well, we have to give up Hawaii. That's going to be tough, but we can fuck all of those Republican states in the middle of the country.
Where everything is too far to drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they can take the train. You know, get on the train, surf. Don't worry, there'll be a boxcar your way soon. Yeah.
Buses.
Yes.
No, buses, but they don't.
Electric
run
bus.
On what?
Yeah,
electric
buses. Run on solar power.
Okay.
The electric buses.
Yeah, the whole thing. The whole thing is ludicrous. It's insane. And the fact that so many of those idiotic Democrats jumped on it, like, oh yeah, this is great, let's do this.
Oh, I know. And the beautiful thing about Mitch McConnell is that he's going to force them.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Go on to put their name on it.
Yep.
And they'll either
or not.
Yes.
Because like
exactly.
Yeah.
They'll either vote for it to establish their lefty cred, or they'll vote against it.
Or they'll all vote present, like Barack Obama.
Well, I don't think that's going to cut it.
Their principled stand of voting present.
You know, it's really has really been an eye-opening week for, I think, a lot of people, because they've done like interviews with college students of, oh, doesn't this sound great? And the Green New Deal sounds great. And then they're like, but you won't be able to fly, and but you won't be able to do this, and but you know, they're getting rid of steak, and you know, and people are like, wait, what?
Yeah,
what? I mean, it sounds good on paper, right? But then the government's not going to let you fly. The government's not going to let you buy 2 steaks a month. You know, it's like whatever it is. And people are starting to come to terms with, like, wait a minute. So the government's going to tell me how to live my life. And I think this sort of, like, you know, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her ilk, like, we needed this. We needed it.
Yeah. This
because
is what
people are starting to be like, wait a minute. Is this really what you're talking about? And they're serious. But the thing is, it's great because you get her talking and she's dead serious about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, she is.
Except when she walks it back. And then you're like, wait a minute. But I thought you said, and then you can't take her seriously anymore.
Right.
So in a certain way, it's like the country kind of needed this sort of, it's like lancing a boil. You know what I mean?
They went way too far, way too quick.
Yeah, of course.
I thought Obama went too far when he raised the CAFE standards on cars to 50 miles per gallon, because that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, your current,
it's impossible to do.
Exactly. Current technology, the best hybrids make 50 miles per gallon. So what you're telling me is the only car you can buy is a Prius.
Yes.
Or an Insight, or, you know, whatever. There are no more SUVs. There's no more trucks. There's no more vans. There's no more anything except the Prius, because that is the least efficient vehicle that you can own. I mean, you go below that and forget it. For every 30 mile per gallon vehicle, which I drive a Toyota RAV4, it's not exactly a giant truck. It's a little SUV. It gets 30 miles per gallon on the highway. For every 30 mile per gallon vehicle, you now have to have a 70 mile per gallon vehicle. Get folks, they don't exist.
No, they don't.
Right.
If you could come out with, if General Motors could produce a full size pickup truck that got 40 miles per the gallon, they could not sell enough of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally, it would be like printing your own money. Because guess what? Nobody cares. Nobody's like, oh, my car only gets 10 miles per gallon. Ha ha. No. That only exists in leftist caricatures of flyover state denizens.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to waste money. If you could produce a pickup truck that got 30 to 40 miles per gallon, you wouldn't be able to keep them in stock.
Right.
Right. Now, we'll leave out, like, you know, sports cars and stuff like that, because
Exactly.
Those are bought by people that with more money than sense, and they don't care how much, you know, they don't care that it gets 6 miles to the gallon or whatever. It's immaterial. But people that drive trucks they usually, you know, you look at the, you know, the fleet trucks and the trucks that people drive. They, you know, nobody buys a truck because, well, some people buy a truck just because they want a truck, but most people buy trucks because they need a truck. And if you could, and they drive the shit out of them too. I mean, there's a reason that you don't find low mileage pickup trucks in the secondhand car lot.
Yeah, you don't.
They're all like, you know, 100,000 mile plus. Plus, plus, plus.
more like 150 to 170. Yeah,
if you, yeah. you know, and, but people, cause people drive the shit out of them. And if you, you know, you take, you know, like you said, if somebody could make a truck that got 40 miles a gallon, they would own the pickup truck market. Nobody, yeah. nobody else could sell a pickup truck.
Exactly. Exactly. And the fact that in, I mean, I think Obama's was 2030 was when that had to take effect. So, okay. 12 years, same time frame.
Yeah.
Still, you're still talking
still not going to happen.
It's technologically impossible.
Right.
And it would require a leap in technology we have not seen in any field. Even computers, even your home computer, which has gone from in 30 years from this horrible, clunky, crappy monochrome monitor to, you know, your cell phone. You know, my iPhone is years more powerful than the IBM 286 my parents had when I was in college.
Sure.
But you would have to have way more of a leap in technology in the next 10 years than we've ever seen to just to meet Obama's CAFE standards, which, of course, when Trump said, this is retarded, we can't make it. There's no way we're going to make this. Let's walk it back to something reasonable. What was the headline? Oh, Trump yeah. hates the environment.
Oh, yeah.
He wants everyone to have horrible pickup trucks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, forget the fact that, that it was an impossible goal. But that but that's like that was like the first shot of the Green New, you know, this Green New Deal thing. Right. I mean, they, you know, it's like, yeah.
But Kennedy put a man on the moon.
You right. know, you gotta remember that that
we need to go back to the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Oh, and meanwhile, God. Japanese Americans across the country are like, "What? What? Excuse
Let's
me?
Let's not.
can we pretend this didn't happen?"
You know, the people always have to remember that Democrats are strange creatures. And what they say is one thing. What they intend is another. And in most cases, whether their stupid plan works or not doesn't even matter. In fact, they're like in a Democrat, in a socialist. The Green New Deal to these socialists, just like the EPA mileage thing. It's a win-win situation for them because it either works, yay, or it fails, yay. You know, they win either way.
And if it fails, it's because the evil Republicans wouldn't support it.
Right. Or some other stupid reason. You know, it can't be because it's impossible to do, you know, or it was doomed to failure because people are people, you know. Ask them about the war on poverty. Ask them about the war on drugs. Ask them about, you know, any myriad of failed government programs. And you know, it's always, well, we just didn't try hard enough. We didn't spend enough money. We didn't, you know, it's never.
That's the thing.
It's never this, oh, well, that was a bad idea.
Hey, geez, did you say Sixers?
Well, it just hasn't been tried yet. You know, true socialism work.
Yeah, right.
You know, can we talk about California and their $3.2 billion?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Which that's hilarious. Off this week.
Let's get this in.
This pissed me off.
This is hysterical. And by hysterical, infuriating.
It is absolutely infuriating. California was given, I don't know by who, but I think it was $3.2 billion to build high-speed rail. Obama. I can only imagine it was a Democrat that gave him that money.
Of course it was.
Because high-speed rail. It's probably Joe Biden. That seems to be his thing, high-speed rail. But California, billion, more than $1 billion was, you know, and the governor, Newsom, I think his name, no. Is it?
Well, it started off, it was going to be a high-speed rail line from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Right.
And then it walked back from there.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, California. they are have decided they're not building it.
Right. Except they're keeping the money that the federal government gave them to build.
Gavin Newsom on Twitter, again, Twitter, the whole Twitter politics thing just, it makes me think that these are not serious people. They got billions of dollars, and Gavin Newsom says, this is fake news. We're building high-speed rail connecting the Central Valley and beyond. This is California's money. Allocated by Congress for this project. We're not giving it back. We're not giving it back, he says.
Yeah. It's California's money allocated by Congress. Last time
Which
I checked.
Means it's not your money.
Last time I checked, Congress was not in charge of California. They're in charge of the federal government.
Right.
Which means, no, it's not your money.
It's not your money. But they're not giving it back.
No, of course they won't.
Kelly, it's the train to nowhere. The Democrats roasted Ted Stevens out of Alaska over the bridge to nowhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're now they're building the one remaining piece of this high speed rail, which is turning out to not be high speed after all, is literally from one place no one wants to go to another place no one wants to go. It is a train from nowhere to nowhere.
Yes. Yes. It's going from Bismarck, North Dakota to Grand Rapids, South Dakota.
It's crazy. And they're touting,
this is the greatest thing ever. It's totally worth $3.5 billion. It's only slightly less than what Trump wants for the border wall. Remember that. Okay, because the Democrats are jumping up and down, shitting their pants over, oh, it's so much money that Trump wants for Trump's folly, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you want to give it to California to make a rail between two cities that nobody gives a shit about? Oh, that's fine.
Yep.
You know, how quickly that amount goes from the largest amount ever, it's worth shutting the government down for weeks, debating on overspending that kind of money, to now California's going to keep it. It's not that much. They've done something with it. We're going to keep it. It's no big deal because it's California. High-speed rail. What is it? Bakersfield to Merced?
Something like that. Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
What the? That's California's bullet train. Yep. Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Got a bullet train, yeah.
Yeah, except it's not, you know, it's not, when you think bullet trains, you kind of think of like the Japanese style.
Yeah, like 200 mile an hour.
It wasn't going to be that.
No.
The high speed rail was going to be something like what Amtrak gets when the engineer gets a little hyped up and you know, presses the accelerator a little more and bumps it up to 75, you know. I mean, it's not
one of those things like, you know, like the Acela train.
Yeah.
I looked into that because there's a line that runs from Washington, D.C. to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? This might be worth looking into rather than driving it or, you know, for four of us flying, it gets pricey. Mm-hmm. First of all, regular Amtrak, the regular train. To go from D.C., Union Station in D.C., to Boston South Station is more expensive than flying.
Sure. Wow. It takes longer, too.
It takes a shitload longer. It takes as long as driving, and it costs more than flying to take the regular train. Not the Acela, the high-speed train, which is only like 100 miles an hour. So the high-speed train does D.C. to Boston in 6 hours, which is faster than driving, yes.
Still not as fast as flying.
Exactly. You know what? Flying from Dulles, which is further, to Logan is an hour and a half. And an hour and a half is from the time they shut the doors at Dulles to the time you're getting off the plane at Logan.
Right.
That's soup to nuts. That's not the time spent in the air. The time spent in the air is less than an hour.
It is literally an up and down flight.
Yes. You know, and if you buy your tickets at the right time, you can generally do it for about $100 each way.
How much does the Acela cost?
The Acela is like 200.
Crazy.
It's psychotic. Because, I mean, that's actually kind of cool. I would love to do that, to be on even the regular train at whatever, 9 or 10 hours.
It'd be fun.
If I could do that for half the price of flying.
Oh yeah. Be all over that.
Take an Uber to Union Station. That's not terribly expensive. And we could have people pick us up at South Station. That's not a problem. We could do that for a couple $100 for the family. Yep. Sure. That's a no brainer. Sure, it's the same amount of time on the train as it is driving, but guess what? We can
relax, play games, sleep.
You can sleep, exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it's more expensive than flying.
That's insane.
This is the Eastern Seaboard where you have easily the highest demand.
Well, it's the only place in the U.S. where the population density is high enough to that rail even becomes.
Exactly.
Theoretically possible because, you know, and it's still not. I mean, the one they always tout is the New York subway system. Oh, yes, the New York subway system. Well, guess what? The New York subway system can't even pay for itself.
Exactly.
And it's in New York. It is in the single highest density spot in the U.S. where more people are willing to ride the subway than anywhere else in the U.S., and it still cannot pay for itself. It loses money every year.
Yep. And rather than trying to improve these things and make them a commodity people want to pay for.
It can't be done, Jay. That's the problem. It cannot be done.
Instead, it's, oh, we're going to have a Green New Deal where we're going to eliminate cow farts and air travel and power everything with windmills and solar panels.
Right.
I mean, at this point, you're talking farting unicorns.
You know, there's a reason that you know, the heyday of passenger travel was about the mid-century passenger train travel.
Yeah.
Post-war mid-century, late 40s to early 50s.
It was back
when if you really wanted to travel across the country or even, you know, within a state or something, a train still made sense.
Yeah.
And that was with, you know, the railroad infrastructure already in place, already paid for, every, you know, passenger lines everywhere, everything was great. And the 50s were like the end of passenger travel because what happened? Two things happened. Eisenhower and the interstate highway system, which meant that people could drive their own car from wherever they were to wherever they wanted to go, which right there by itself without airplanes would have ended train travel because trains did not and cannot take you from where you are to where you want to go by definition. And then you throw in airplanes on top of that. And passenger train travel screwed.
Right.
And you can't have a high speed train that's fast enough to beat a jet.
Right. And even if it's moderately close, you know, again, I can fly to Boston in an hour and a half. I can take the train. Now, theoretically, you should be able to take the train in about 2.5 hours. You know, you get a train that goes 200 miles an hour. That's nowhere near the limit of what the trains can do. I know the Japanese trains run about that speed.
Right.
200 miles an hour, it takes you 2.5 hours. You make it roughly the same price. Yeah, hell, I'll take a train.
They can't do that, though. It'll never be the same price, ever.
Exactly. That is exactly correct. They can't. Even if it was close, if the plane was $100 and the train was $150.
And the reason I can say in full confidence that they can't do it, because if it was possible, it would be done.
Much like the 40 mile per gallon pickup truck.
Yep.
If it were possible, it would have been done.
Yep. And we've completely lost Brita.
I'm here. I'm just listening.
It's one of those things.
We got into our guy rant stuff.
Okay. But this is exactly what capitalism is all about. And it's why it drives me absolutely batshit. You know, socialism will win. No, it won't.
No.
Because if these were viable, somebody would have done it.
Right.
Elon Musk is launching fucking cars into space because he can.
Yes.
If you'd said 30 years ago, if you'd said a private citizen is going to launch something into space, you'd have been like, you're insane. There's no way they could afford that. It can't be done.
Right.
Well, guess what? It can.
And he didn't just launch something. He launched his fucking car,
which I still think that the person in the spacesuit was one of his competitors. We'll never know.
Yeah, you'll never know.
I look around for whoever's missing.
In a few hundred years, somebody's going to rendezvous with that car just as a matter of, historical, they're going to go, hey, look, there's a car. Let's go see what's in it. And they're going to find some desiccated skeleton inside the spacesuit.
It's going to be in a Tom Petty. Come across it. If it were feasible, it would have been done. And it wouldn't have required massive grants to do.
Right. Well, but
somebody would have figured out they can make a shit ton of money doing this already.
Right. Well, there are ways to incentivize companies to do stuff that you want them to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's tax breaks.
The first railroads were built in the U.S. on land grants from the,
and Chinese slave labor.
Exactly. But again, even then.
Hey, you guys, I gotta go.
Yeah. Well, we're done.
I think it's been an hour. So
bored,
happy
Brita.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And
Brita.
Yeah, we're going to
see you next week.
We're going to say good night.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Top our Geek Fest.
Bye.
Okay, good night.
Geek Fest. Good night, Brita.